Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 17th of March, recording at 9:33 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time from sunny London, where it's been like the best of high summer for the last 2 days. Okay, first the highlights as I see it. In terms of global stock markets, some further big hits in some of the emerging markets, particularly the East European emerging markets. Also, we've seen a little bit further rally in the US Treasury bonds that may well have some implications for stock markets. I'll get back to that. And the dollar, a modest rally in here today, after yesterday's weakness, and that's got the metals markets a bit twitchy. And of course, more excitement in crude oil. That's become almost a daily event. Okay, as far as the stock markets are concerned, I feel that after that 2-year rally that we saw on Wall Street, all the factors that I've cited that were ending signals that really the rally's over. Or I'll put it this way, if the rallies aren't over, in other words, if a few stock market indices would touch new highs in here, which I would expect, although possibly not the US, that the best I can see is really markets ranging sideways for a while, and that now, as I said in the comment of the day, that for the first time in 2 years, the downside risks really do outweigh the upside scope. Now, some of you might think back, well, David, you remember back in the first quarter, starting in January, with a number of the markets that had run away strongly in 2003 on the upside. So, January 2004, that I took some profits and got cautious, and a good thing too, because we did have a progressive rolling over of stock markets, and that those corrections persisted, and they weren't insubstantial, and they persisted through to say midsummer of 2004. Well, I think this is much more dangerous this time. And obviously, because markets had pushed up to higher levels, but also particularly because of all the ending signals that I've been describing to you, and most especially the rising interest rates, and of the rising interest rates, particularly the recent rise in the long-dated government bonds. And I hear that there's some, there well, there's been a bit of a selling squall in some of the emerging market debt as well. So it's a dangerous period in here from the bull tack, which is one reason why I've lightened a bit, and I've also put on some asymmetrical hedges. Now, let me get on to this bond market though, because that really is I think a very, very important key. Now, what I'm about to say, and you will have heard this before if you've been listening to the audios, or certainly parts of it before, is just a theory. It can't really be more than a theory, but I think there's logic here behind it, and that is that everybody's focused here on what happens to these long-dated bond yields, particularly the U.S. long-dated bond yields, and simultaneously, pretty well everybody's focused on the U.S. dollar. Because if the US dollar is weakening, and if a factor in that weakness is the diversification of some of the money flows from countries that have the current account surpluses into other currencies, in other words, they may not be selling dollars, but they just aren't buying more dollars, and there needs to be a very, very substantial purchase of new dollars on a daily basis, as you know, to sustain the currency recycling into US investments, in other words, that if that isn't taking place, that many people feel that that will add to pressure in the US government bond market. Now, that's a logical conclusion, and one that one that I concur with. I don't think the domestic demand for the long bonds would be sufficient to offset that lack of demand from foreigners, should that be the case. So my basic premise here on equities is that if the bond markets, government bond markets rally, the line I'm really talking about, the long-dated government bond market rallies, then that would give stock markets their best chance of following this shakeout of steadying and then, say, ranging sideways for a while. Conversely, if the bond market takes another big hit, and I'm more inclined to think that the bond market is likely to take a big hit. Okay, it's rallied the last couple of days in here, but it was oversold on a short-term basis. There are still some bond bulls around, as you know, although a lot fewer than, say, a month or two ago. But if the bonds weaken further, in other words, bond prices come off, long-dated government bond yields push up, then I think that really will spell trouble for global stock markets, and we could see some really quite sharp sell-offs. Now, as you probably, if you've been listening to these audios over the last year, you're probably well aware that I've been saying that we would see some real selling squalls in the 2005-2006 period. It's hardly the end of the world. It'll create great buying opportunities for those people who've raised some cash at opportune moments. And I would place the emphasis on raising a bit more cash. I still don't think that the risk of being complacent. I don't think this is an environment where we need to panic out of many positions, and I don't have any intention of doing that, although there is the old adage, tongue-in-cheek adage, if you're going to panic early. But what I did do is I stayed my buying hand, looking at what's happened in Japan, where the second section index has been incredibly steady. You've seen that chart before, you know, there's a steady rise in Japan, and where we seem to have had what I described, talking to Owen about it, is it's sort of a controlled reaction in the Nikkei and the TOPIX indexes over the last few days. And I still have, that's where I've got a long futures position still. I've got three short futures positions, stock market futures, but I am still long a bit of Nikkei. And I had, oh, say, last month, at the beginning of the month, I'd been intending to add to it. And I really did have to fight off, as I say, my strong temptation to go in and pick some up here today, feeling that there was quite a good chance that it could bounce here tomorrow. But say I didn't do it because I'd really rather not be trying to finesse that. But in case you think, well, is this man being self-indulgent here and is talking too much about himself, boring for England on the subject, say, repeat an important point overall, that if any one market is going to hold out and show relative strength in this environment, I think it will be Japan. And there are lots of reasons for that. It's low correlation rate, also its overall position in the cycle, and softish yen, and so on, that would actually contribute to that. What I have said before is that as to whether that would be a net gain or just a relative performance, in other words, the relative performance, if we get a big sell-off, I would expect Japan to go down less than other markets. But it would require a modest sell-off elsewhere and maybe some steadying for Japan to really provide some worthwhile gains in here over the short term. Over the long term, again, I also maintain that Japan is the most interesting of the developed country stock markets. But I like, as you know, some of the emerging stock markets, such as India, much more in terms of their overall long-term potential because of the very high growth rates that were we're going to see. But again, this is not a time to be buying. This is a time to be battening down the hatches here a little bit. But as you've seen so far, I've chosen to go the route of the asymmetrical hedges, and not sell heavily so far. And those asymmetrical hedges, so I've said before, one's been sort of spoiled for choice, but I've got the Italian MIB index that bounced a little bit in here today, but had a huge hit on the downside yesterday. FTSE, that's the UK stock market index, that was down 15 in here today. I've got modest profits in both of those. And the NASDAQ, which I put on yesterday, I've got an extremely modest profit in that one. And if we do see a bit of a bounce in here, I will almost certainly put on some more asymmetrical hedges, meaning, of course, that I'm not hedging my Indian position, my Japan position, my Thailand position, my resources positions. I'm not hedging those directly. I would be shorting the markets that I think are going to be more vulnerable overall because the fundamental underpinnings aren't quite so good, and I don't think the technical pictures are as good, but it's more of a fundamental assessment than anything else at this stage. And there's something else in that subject that I was going to mention, but I can't remember it at the moment, and maybe it'll crop up again. I'll go back to it. Okay, bonds up 11.30 seconds in here today, 111.04 on the US 30-year. That's off the high, which is up at 119, but it is another gain, as you can see in here. Now, but the more interesting thing that's taken place today is this firmer dollar. The unemployment, or the employment figures rather, were slightly better than people were anticipating. I mean, hardly anything to raise an eyebrow, and that caused the dollar to strengthen. So it pushed up to 104.55 against the yen. That's up 39 ticks. The euro came down 41 ticks to 133.75. So modest rally. Not much against, fortunately, not much of a rally against the Aussie dollar and the Kiwi dollar, which are the two positions that I still hold against the US. I still like those two high-yielding currencies. But this dollar down at the lower side of its range, and when I look at the chart, there's hardly a compelling case for buying the US dollar. One might say rather the opposite. But you know, it has steadied here recently, and it is by that prior support. And I'm interested to see the how twitchy the metal markets, particularly the precious metal markets, have been. Gold fell back here today, 438, 43, down over 4.7 dollars, and they all came back a bit in here, and including the platinum, which had broken up yesterday and fell back, currently 878 and a quarter in after hours trading in here. So just the fact that the metals are so twitchy with the dollar at this level just makes me think that maybe there are too few many dollar bears around in the short term. Now, I'm hoping I don't see technical justification for putting on a dollar long position. I did mention this yesterday, that if I thought that the dollar was going to stage another rally, perhaps go back up and test the February high, what would I do? Well, I might certainly chop, well, I would certainly hopefully chop my long currency positions against the dollar. But I'd probably ride out most of the metals that I still have, knowing that I'd see some profit erosion there, or some of those positions going into losses. I probably would ride that out, and I'm thinking today, but I might hedge it. This is getting awfully complicated, isn't it? If I'm not careful, I'll wind up hedging my hedges. But I might open a dollar long position, even though that's a counter trend That would be a counter-trend play, and I'm not too keen on those. But if I do do it, and I say I'm hoping I don't, I would buy the dollar against the Japanese yen, where I would have the interest rate differential on my side, and I would argue that the pattern's a little better because the yen's been a weak currency overall as well. Okay, that's pretty much it. Oil fell back from its highs, but this move is not over in my view. Currently trading at 55.97, got up over 57, as you're probably aware. But the late reaction, did pull natural gas back a little bit, but that's still a firm, very firm chart overall, and I'm resisting the temptation there to take profits after the very good month that natural gas has seen on the upside. A reason for that is it's still cheap relative to the petroleum contracts, relative to the oil contracts. Now, lastly, in the soft commodities, we had quite a sizable downward reaction in soybeans here today. Remember, that had been the leader, and I've been describing these agricultural commodities as being on fire, and they have been. We've seen some huge rallies, but a technicality that often occurs is that when there's been a particularly strong move in some of the futures markets, and then you get to the expiration dates, and the soybeans contract, the March soybeans contract expired yesterday, and a lot of people roll those positions over into the new month, and they jam stops up. And so you get this convergence of stops all at the same level, and very often that does trigger reactions, and that's exactly what we've seen in the soybeans. So they fell back quite sharply today. I mean, they're still looking, still looks like very much of a stalk on the upside, but it's lost upside momentum. And I'm very much hoping that that gets a hefty shakeout. In other words, one of those spike rallies that you might recall from the chart seminar, if you've attended that, and then the market rallies up so strongly that people sort of blink and say, "Well, what next? Is this justified? What's changed?" And I think maybe it's gotten a little ahead of itself, and then you get a pullback. But that's what I'm hoping for, and because I have been in and out of that soybeans contract, trading it, buying it cheap, but I missed this last rally in here, although I've got the corn, so I'd like to get back in. And there is that fundamental story of some genuine crop damage in Brazil. And I think that's about it, so I'll just say all the best.